If you were not in the adult Bible class this morning or did not receive an outline, if you would just hold your hand up, that way we can get an outline of the lesson this morning to you. We do want to extend a special welcome to the visitors here this morning, and we appreciate you being here. I'm convinced that all of us, if nothing else were to happen this morning, we could still leave here this morning saying it's been good for us to be here. And I hope that not only you have enjoyed this time worshiping together with other Christians, but that you have felt that your worship has been pleasing to God as well. If you have any questions about the worship or even about the lesson today, I encourage you to feel free to ask questions after the lesson is over with. I'd like to encourage you to come back this evening as we'll be studying from the topic of golden rings, gold rings, and filthy clothes. If you want to know what that's about, come back here tonight. I'm convinced there's no better place that you could be than to be back here again tonight, worshiping God again this evening. This morning we're going to be studying from the topic of we call ourselves Christians. And I'm going to work off the assumption that all of us in this room call ourselves Christians. You know, the term Christian is one of those terms that is used quite a bit. You hear the term Christian used a lot of times, and you hear it referred to a lot of times. Now it seems like one of the qualifications that you have to be a politician, has to be that you have to be a Christian, because it seems like every politician that we hear says that they're a Christian. But what do people mean when they use the word Christian? What do you mean when you use the word Christian? Do we mean the same thing that the first century Christians did? Do we, when someone describes us as being Christian, would they be describing us the same way that they would describe Christians in the New Testament? You know, some people wonder, well, is the name really important? Is a name very important? Well, I assure you that the name is important. If you don't believe it's important, just have someone put my name on your paycheck and see if they value the name. I know when you go to name your children, as we did, picking out a name is very important. I know the Bakers, when they named their twins, there was special meaning in the names that they chose for their twins, and I'm sure it was with all of you. Most of you remember Alexander the Great, a great and powerful dictator that conquered a lot of the ancient world. And he ran upon one of his soldiers whose name was also Alexander. And this particular soldier did not have the same mentality that he did. And so he told that soldier, he felt like he was a coward, and he told him he either needed to change his name or change his life. And that should be the same with us, that we value our name. But also, if we name and wear the name of Christ, if we go by the name Christian, we should value that name. And it makes me wonder, if Christ were to come down, would He say the same thing to you or I? Would He tell us to change our name or change our life? And that's the topic that I would like for us to look at this morning. And if we want to know, well, do we live our lives in the same way, or if we call ourselves Christian, and do we live our lives the same way that the first century Christians did? Of course, the only way to know that is to go to the New Testament to see what kind of life they lived, and do we pattern our lives after the same thing? You know, the term Christian itself is only used three times in the New Testament. One of the times that it was used is in Acts chapter 26 in verse 28 when Paul was standing before King Agrippa. And he had been before King Agrippa and sharing several things before him. And several times King Agrippa was very interested in what Paul had to say. And after a period of time, after a period of discussion, Paul said to King Agrippa in verse 27, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. And King Agrippa replied and said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Well, what did King Agrippa mean by you almost persuade me to become a Christian? Was the only qualification that someone needed to be a Christian was for belief? If so, King Agrippa believed. Why would he then say, you almost persuade me to become a Christian? He believed in those things, and Paul knew that he believed those things. Also, Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, used the term Christian again. And he was talking about suffering for the cause of Christ. And Peter said in 1 Peter 4:14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. And notice what else he said, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. So if we were to analyze that passage and to break it down and to look at those things a little bit more, we could say, well, a Christian is one that is going to suffer for the cause of Christ. We also know from the verse before that we should not suffer as a murderer, thief, evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's affairs. So we know then that a Christian is one who does not do those things. But what truly is a Christian? Well, let's turn back to Acts chapter 11, and let's look at the time that the word Christian was first used. Now it's found in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And that is going to be the text of our study this morning. And what we're going to do is take a look at those who are called Christians first and see how they pattern their lives with the hope that we can make sure that we're patterning our lives the same way. In Acts chapter 20, Acts 11, verse 26, we're told, and when he, that is Barnabas, had found him, that is Paul, or Saul, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Let's look at this time frame of what we know about these people and see what it is that made them first be called Christian in the New Testament. If you were to just pull out a dictionary and look at the term Christian, it would say one who believes or practices the teachings of Christ. One that is a Christian, a Christian. One who has the qualities of a Christian. One who has the qualities of one who would believe in Christ. But let's look first of all at verses 19 through 21. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. First of all, let's notice this morning that the Christians at Antioch believed in Christ. They believed in Christ. And that is one of the reasons why they were called Christians. Well, what does it mean to believe in Christ? What made these different? Why were they called Christians first at Antioch? Well, first of all, we have to realize who they were. We read even our reading this morning for our Bible class in this morning how that Stephen was being persecuted, and he was chosen as one of those deacons, and he was chosen as a person who spoke out for Christ. And because of him speaking out, he was persecuted and stoned. And because of that stoning, the church was scattered all around, and there was a great persecution about that. Well, some of those that were persecuted traveled, we find over here in Acts 11, traveled as far as Antioch. And when they got there, some of the people that were speaking and some of those that were scattered abroad were speaking to only the Jews. But here we find, and some even spoke to the Hellenists. And we're told then that first of all, they were scattered abroad, but also that Jesus was preached to them. So when Jesus was preached to them, we find verse 21, that a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Well, what do we know about what they were taught? What were these people taught? If you look at verse 20, we're told that when they spoke to the Hellenists, they preached the Lord Jesus. Verse 19, however, we're told that they were preaching the Word. Well, we know they weren't preached two different things, so preaching the Word must mean the same thing as preaching the Lord Jesus. Well, when they preached the Word, or they preached the Lord Jesus, what did they preach? What did they talk about? Well, if you had to go back to what those people were taught, preaching the Word or preaching the Lord Jesus meant that they taught about Jesus. They taught about his death on the cross. They taught about his resurrection. And they taught about his kingdom and the gospel and what it took to be added to that kingdom. What was the result of those that believed in Christ? We're told in verse 21 that a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Well, what does it mean by turning to the Lord? If you turn back to Acts chapter 9 and verse 29, we find that when Barnabas before had talked to some of the Hellenists, we're not sure if it's the exact same group of people, but we know before when he talked to some of the Hellenists that they attempted to kill him. And they ran Paul and Barnabas out of town. And so what was the difference here? Well, they believed in Jesus and they turned to his word. Well, how do we know what they did? How do we know what does it mean by turning to the Lord? Well, if you skip down to verse 24, we find that a great many people were added to the Lord. So we know that they believed, they turned to the Lord, and they were added to the Lord. Well, doesn't that sound familiar to a couple chapters before this? In Acts chapter 2, we're also told about some who were added, the term added. And if you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 47, we're told that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So if we're added to the Lord and the Lord adds you to the church, it must mean that the same thing that we're added to the Lord means that we're added to the church. Well, in Acts chapter 2, what did those do in order to be added? We're told they were being added as they were being saved. The Lord added to the church those who were being saved. We find if we backed up a little bit further, back Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. So what did they do to be added? What did they do for the Lord to add them to the church? Those that were being baptized. Well, if you back up a little bit further, in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, we find that they were pricked in their hearts, and they asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter told them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So what do we know so far of these verses? We know that those that were called Christians were added to the Lord. We know that they were, in order to be added to the Lord, we know that they believed and turned away. They changed. Well, what do we know earlier in Acts then? that the Lord added to the church, those who were being saved. And what church was that? That was the same church. What church did Jesus add them to? It's the same church in Matthew 16:18. He said, "Behold, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So if we want to be Christians, what do we need to do? If we want to wear the term Christ, how would we need to respond? The same way that those in the first century responded. They believed, repented, and were baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. Those in the New Testament who were called Christians were those who saw that Jesus was the way, the only way. Where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," in John 14:6. So these in the New Testament that were called Christians in Acts chapter 11 were those who believed in the word that they were preached and were changed. Secondly, those that were called Christians belonged to Christ. They belonged to Christ. If someone were to look at us and they say, "Well, I don't think you act like a Christian." Or maybe they looked at us and they say, "I think you do act as a Christian." What does that mean? How did the Christians, how did those that were called Christians in the New Testament, how did they act? What does it mean to act like a Christian? What does it mean to behave like a Christian? What does it mean to belong to Christ? Let's look a little bit closer at these verses. In Acts chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, we're told these things. "Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem." Well, what things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem? The fact that so many were believing and turning to the Lord, in verse 21. "And what did the church in Jerusalem do? And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God..." Now, how did he see the grace of God? He saw the way the people were acting. And we're told, "And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord." Well, first of all, we see then that they continued with purpose of heart. They continued with purpose of heart. What does it mean then in verse 23? "When Barnabas saw how they behaved, and he encouraged them to continue with purpose of heart." Well, it means that they belonged to Christ. They acted like they belonged to Christ. And if we want to wear the name Christian, we need to act like we belong to Christ. Now, what does that mean? Notice when the Bible said, "And they added, the people were added to the Lord," what does it mean to add to? It means that those that were already Christians belonged to Christ. They behaved like they belonged to Christ, and they were dedicated. When he came to them, when Barnabas came to them, did he say you needed to act differently? No, he encouraged them to continue acting the way they were. When Barnabas came to him, he said, the Bible says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. Well, how did Barnabas see the grace of God? Was it something supernatural? If someone was to come in here and they said, "Well, I saw the grace of God this morning." Is that something supernatural, some feeling that someone gets? No, he saw how they treated one another, how they acted, and he saw that they belonged to Christ, and he was glad. And if we want to wear the name Christian, we need to realize that we should belong to Christ and act that way. In other words, they were servants now. They were servants now. How many times do we kind of have in our mind that, well, someone's a new Christian, that they've got to go through this trial process or something in order to behave like Christ? Yes, all of us should continue to grow and change and mature and grow beyond babes of the Word and become those that take on spiritual meat. But when Barnabas came and saw those who were wearing the name Christian, saw those people in Antioch, he encouraged them to keep doing what they were doing. In other words, they were behaving like Christians should behave. They belonged to Christ. So we've seen that those here in Antioch believed in Christ, they belonged to Christ, and thirdly, they behaved like Christ. Well, how do we know how they behaved? What specifically did they do? If you turn and look at, down at verses 27 through 30, let's notice a few things specifically that they did. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So let's notice a few facts here. First of all, there was a famine prophesied. Some that came from Jerusalem. Jerusalem had the spiritual gift of prophecy, and they prophesied that there was going to be a famine. Well, how did Christians react when they heard this news? How did those that were in Antioch react when they heard this news? Well, they acted, for one. They didn't just hear it and do nothing about it. They acted. They were united. How do we know they were united? In verse 29 in the New King James, it says, "Then the disciples, each according to his ability." The English Standard Version and some other versions use the term, "then everyone according to his ability." So they were united in what they did. This goes along with John chapter 17, verse 21, when Jesus himself prayed for those that would be Christians, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. If here in Plymouth we want to convince others that we are Christians, that we behave like Christians, then how do we show that? Jesus says that the way that to show the world and the way for them to believe in us is that we all are one, that we are united in one. If we act united, then the world will know that we're of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Also, Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." So how did Christians act? They were united. They worked together. They looked out for each other's well-being. They were of one accord. How were they of one accord? Well, they all spoke the same thing. How did they speak the same thing? They all spoke what they were taught. And that is the Word of God, the things that we mentioned in our first point. Fourthly, we see under letter D on your outline, they were sacrificial. They were sacrificial. When they heard this news of the famine, they acted, they were united, and they were sacrificial. They each of them gave according to their own ability. They didn't worry about what their neighbor beside them was given. They each looked at their own selves, and they gave according to what they were able to give. They were sacrificial. They were determined and dedicated. The Bible tells us that they were determined to send relief, or that they did determine to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. And they just decided to do so. They didn't just decide to do so. We find in verse 30, this they also did. They were dedicated to what they decided to do. How many times do we start something? Maybe it's a good thought. We hear about a need. We decide, hey, we need to do something about that. This group of people saw a need. They were sacrificial. And they followed through with what they needed to do. And they were also compassionate. They saw a need and reacted where there was a need. If we wanted to look at our lives and see, well, I want to wear the name Christian. Am I rightly wearing the name of Christian? If Jesus were to come here this morning and talk to us, oh, you're wearing my name. You're wearing the name of Christ. You're wearing the name of Christian. Could we look at ourselves this morning and analyze and say, we fall in line with what those did in the New Testament. We've looked at what it took to wear that name. And these Christians, this group of people, believed in Christ. They obeyed Christ. They turned their lives to meet Christ. They belonged to Christ. And they behaved like Christ. If we want to wear the same name of Christ, we should do the same thing. Maybe this morning, as we've gone through this lesson, you realize, well, you didn't do initially what the Bible said needed to be done to become a Christian. Maybe you believed like King Agrippa. Maybe someone's almost persuaded you to become a Christian, but you've never made that final step. I encourage you to do like those did on the day of Pentecost. To repent, turn from your sins, turn your life to Christ. Confess Jesus as the Son of God and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. But maybe you've been one this morning who became a Christian at one time, but you haven't truly belonged to Christ. You haven't been living your life like you belong to Christ. Maybe you haven't been behaving like Christ. If there's a need for you to respond this morning, I encourage you to do so as we stand and sing the song.